since 1775, generations of Americans have fought for our ideals and our principles. American warriors secured the freedoms to create the United States of America. They fought to end slavery. They joined with allies to win two world wars. They have responded with valor and honor whenever called. And they have liberated more people around the globe than any military in the history of the world. Our all-volunteer forces of guardsmen, soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, and reservists continue the mission begun at Lexington and Concord. Less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces. The least the rest of us can do is to pay attention and get engaged. This program is produced and broadcast for that purpose. It is presented live and worldwide at 1041thetruth.com. To engage, call 520-751-1041. The American Warrior is on the air.
And welcome back, folks. We're here for another segment of American Warrior. Hey, listen, if you're paying attention at all, you probably know that Thunder and Lightning Over Arizona, Davis Monthan's open house, is coming up this coming weekend. It's free of charge, Saturday, April 12th and Sunday, April 13th. The gates open at 9. The aerial demonstrations begin at 11. There's going to be over 45 aircraft on the place, static displays, an MQ-1 Predator, an AC-130 gunship, a B-1 bomber. Folks, it's a great time. Hundreds of thousands of Tucsonans come out and enjoy the open house and support our men and women out at the Air Force. So I really hope you're planning on doing that. Now, one of the demonstrations, the highlight of that show, are, of course, United States Air Force Thunderbirds, the fastest flying aerial demonstration team in the world. And we're joined here on American Warrior today by Major Blaine Jones. He is Thunderbird 5, the lead solo pilot. Yeah, well, thank you for being with us, Major Jones. Now, you're the lead solo pilot for the Thunderbirds?
I am, yep. I'm number 5. If you look at our airplane, the 5's upside down. So I'm also known as the upside down guy or the inverted pilot. But, yeah, as the lead solo, that's what we do.
Well, now, let me get that out of the way right off the bat, sir, because it made me smile. If you look at one of the most famous photos, it's a formation where the two planes are flying, one right side up and one upside down. Is that the Calypso, or what do you call that?
You bet. Yeah, the Calypso pass, I'm upside down, and then the opposing solo number 6 is right side up, but he's just beneath me, so it looks like our tails are touching. It's a bit of an optical illusion, but that's the way we want it to look.
Well, to me, the neat thing about, you know, this is the kind of trivia that's going to let somebody win a crud game bet sometime, but the number 5 on your aircraft is actually painted upside down, so it appears right side up when you're flying in that formation.
That's right. That's right.
And how does
upside down on my flight suit too? When I look down at my number, I can see which one I am.
I was just going to comment on that. So I hope that they didn't choose you because they feel you're always upside down when you're on the ground too, right?
Exactly. No, unfortunately, I think that's why they did choose me for that. But I do the best I can with it.
Now, Major Jones, I would guess flying with the Thunderbirds that's in the Air Force parlance, that's definitely something you want to have on your resume. I mean, there's lots of people that compete to be a Thunderbird pilot, so it's got to be a great honor for you. But let's back up a little bit. How did you, Blaine Jones, how did you first think about getting involved in flying in the Air Force?
Well, it took quite a while for me. I did what most of my friends did. I went to high school, and then I ended up going to college, got a degree in college, and I worked for about 6 years. I actually worked in the baking business, making bread, actually, for a couple of big bakeries, being a production manager at a factory. So I did that for quite a while. And I always wanted to fly, but I never really took the time to do it. So I was just kind of doing my career, as it were. And one day on September 11th, 2001, I listened to the terror attacks on the radio there in my office and came to the realization that, you know, everything that I had been doing all of my life, what I'd worked for, what I'd gone to school for, it was really just kind of working for myself. And I really wasn't, I didn't feel like I was contributing to the greater good, I guess, as it were. So I decided that day that, you know, I'm going to do something. I want to make a difference, and I'm going to try to change the world if I can do that, make it a better place. So I didn't know what else to do. And I thought, well, I'll be a fighter pilot because I didn't know any better. I guess it's good to be naive. So I started flying, and I quit my job and joined the Air Force. I went to officer training school and was fortunate enough to get selected to be a fighter pilot, what I wanted to do. And the rest is kind of history. I've flown a lot of different airplanes and been around the world and eventually got me here. But it took a long time to get to this point. You know, I didn't plan on doing it. It just kind of the way it happened, I guess.
Well, I tell you, you joining after hearing the news about September 11th, that's very powerful, sir, and thank you again for your service. Before you went into a little bit more, you were an athlete. You're in pretty good shape before you went off to college and decided you're a three-time All-American high jumper.
Yeah, I high jumped at a little school, Hutchinson Community College, and then I went to Kansas State University where I continued high jumping. And, you know, high jumping is not a very good career. They don't pay high jumpers very well, I guess, so I had to find something else to do. That's why
I
decided to bake bread.
You know, you went from baking to shaking bake in the air. That's kind of an easy transition, isn't it? Now, and you also played Jimmy Stewart in the high school play, so you've got the face to be the kind of the poster child of pilots for the United States Air Force, right?
Well, but notice this is a radio interview, you know.
Okay. Well, folks are going to come out and see you at the open house next weekend. Now, explain. I see on your resume you also list camel herder. Not something I didn't see camels in Kansas very much last time I was through.
No, well, like I said, I've been the Air Force has given me a lot of great opportunities to go everywhere. Some places that were really fun, you know. In Asia and you know, Singapore, Korea, those were all great places. Also some places that weren't so fun, you know, in the Middle East and whatnot, but you do the best you can with some of those things, and sometimes you run across a herd of camels in the middle of the desert and not much else going on, so you go down, take a peek at them, and it's all, I think the camels enjoyed seeing American air power up in the air too, so.
Okay, well, hold on, slow down. So you were herding camels in an airplane?
Well, not necessarily. You know, you look down there and the camels roam free, so you just go down and take a peek. But all very safe and all very controlled.
Okay, all right. Just want to clarify that for the kids out there listening.
Exactly.
Now, you know something about that. You're quite the engineer. I had the opportunity when I was looking for you on the interweb. I found a video of you and some pedal cars that you designed and built for your kids, and they are good looking copies of the F-16s you guys fly.
Well, I during the winter months when we have our training season, we're at home. We're not traveling, so we get the chance to be there at home. And during my spare time, I made a couple of pedal cars for my kids. I have two 4-year-old girls, and they really enjoy them. I made them in the Thunderbird colors, and they really really enjoy them. But like most things that you make for your children, you know, they enjoy the box that they come in more than the cars. That's okay.
Well, take it from me, sir. If you decide when you leave the Air Force, if you don't want to go back into baking, you could start a business building some of those pedal cars and selling them.
I think as long as it took me to make them, I don't think I'd make a whole lot of money doing that.
Good point. Well, hey, listen, sir, I don't know if you know this or not, but you weren't on the team, I think, the last time we had an open house here at DM, were you?
I was, yep.
Okay.
I was there in 2012 as the opposing solo.
Oh, okay. So I don't know if that point in time you recall ever hearing about Colonel Hoot Gibson. Does that name ring a bell?
No, it doesn't. Maybe.
Okay, well, I tell you, Hoot was one of the first Korean War aces.
Okay.
He was flew 94 combat missions in Korea, 105 combat missions in Vietnam. But he was one of the former alumni, I guess, lead pilot of the Thunderbirds. That's something
okay.
he achieved and was a real community leader here in Tucson. And I can tell you, it's one of those things where if you have any doubts that God has a sense of humor, you know, this guy had almost 200 combat missions and he passed by falling down and hitting his head on a rock. That's how we lost Hoot. But anyway, Tucson's got a great connection with Hoot, so we've got a great connection with the Thunderbirds. I tell you what, we're going to take a little break here in just a minute, sir, but when I come back, I'd like to talk and explain to our folks, kind of set the background for us, explain to us a little bit about the history of the Thunderbirds. Two connections, really. I mean, the group was formed up at Luke Air Force Base just north of us. So, folks, we're here on American Warrior with Major Blaine Jones. He is Thunderbird 5, the Upside Down 5. He is the lead sole pilot for the Thunderbirds. We'll be right back.
those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
And we're back, folks, here on American Warrior. Very, very pleased and honored to have Thunderbird 5, Major Blaine Jones, who's the lead solo pilot for the United States Air Force Thunderbirds, the fastest flying aerial demonstration team in the world. You will have a chance to see Major Jones and his fellow airmen flying out of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base this coming weekend, Saturday, April 2nd, Sunday, April 13th. The gates open at 9. Now, folks, I'll tell you, there's no public transportation. Both the Swan Gate and the Craycroft Gate will be open, but add a little bit of time just to get out there and get parked and make your way to the flight line. So, Major Jones, again, thanks for being with us. Let's come back and talk about the history of the Thunderbirds. I use that phrase, you're the fastest flying aerial demonstration team in the world, but we were talking before the break about that photo, the Calypso formation. Now, you guys are flying about, what, 500 miles an hour, 700 miles an hour?
Well, we slow it down a little bit in the Calypso. We're around 450 miles an hour for that one.
But you're 18 inches apart, so.
If we're pretty close, very close. We're so close that when number six gets into formation off of me when I'm flying upside down, I can actually feel the airflow over his wings. It wants to suck my wings into his a little bit. So we're pretty close with that.
Now, have you ever heard of the Pardo push, sir?
I have. Yes, very much so.
In reading the story about that amazing heroic action, one of the elements was just the drag and the thrust, and all these things are coming off that other aircraft. What, just to get into that formation, if you can try and paint a visual picture for our listeners, how you can't come up right behind him because of the thrust. How do you actually get into that formation?
Well, we'll start that formation about 2 miles away, as the crowd's looking at the air show, 2 miles to the right, and I will set my altitude right there at about 200 feet is where we're going to be flying at Tucson, and I'll flop upside down. I'll try to make that move to invert it as smoothly as possible, and where six is, he is right behind me and offset to the right of me just a little bit. So he'll watch me flop upside down. As soon as I fly, flop upside down, he pushes up the power to get line abreast with me, so even with me, and then he taps a little bit of left rudder to slowly move in underneath me, and that's how we make it work. So it all happens very quickly from the time that I flop upside down until we're at show center. That's about 8 seconds. So he has to move pretty quickly, and then we're gone. So
and you're doing that. At 200 feet.
That's at 200 feet. Yep. So we have a couple of different altitudes. During the first half of the show season, we're at 200 feet, and then the second half we lower it down about 50 more feet. So we're down at 150 feet. Either altitude, you're pretty close to the ground.
Well, I got to tell you, sir,
I try to fly as smoothly as possible.
For the folks who have not seen the Thunderbirds perform, Tucsonans, just to give you a perspective, when you see that police helicopter flying over, well, hopefully not over your neighborhood, hopefully over someone else's neighborhood, but that helicopter is flying at 500 feet. So these jets are moving at 450, 500 miles an hour at much less than that. So I tell you, see, Major, you got me all excited. I'm excited to see you guys. I got off my script here. Let's back up a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the Thunderbirds. You trace your origins back to Kelly Field in Texas all the way back to June 13th, 1917. At least the squadron does, correct? Not the Thunderbirds per se, but...
Yeah, they weren't known as the Thunderbirds then. It was the 30th Aero Squadron back then. And, I don't have a lot of history of them then, but, we've been flying some type of demonstration. And then really in 1953, at Luke, there in Arizona, Luke mm-hmm. Field, that's when we really started as the Thunderbirds. That's when the Thunderbirds were activated, flying F-84 Thunderjets then.
And that's really another tie to Arizona. Of course, folks know that Luke Air Force Base is just up the road from us up there in Phoenix. Just became or was selected as the training site for the F-35, if I'm not mistaken. So
that's right.
A lot of generational aircraft there. Now, I know, sir, you weren't planning on a quiz, but I just love to do that. So speaking of history, does the name Starducers ring a bell?
You bet. That's before we were the Thunderbirds, we were the Starducers. And I don't know who came up with that. I think it was one of the pilots. It didn't last too long because quickly after that we were known as the Thunderbirds, and that name has stuck. We have the iconic symbol of the Thunderbird on the underside of our jet, and mm-hmm. that symbol has stuck with us that whole time for over 60 years now.
Now, if I've read the story correctly, there was a contest they had at Luke, and the winner got a weekend in Vegas and a $50 savings certificate, and the winner of that contest was Thunderbirds. But apparently the selection committee, because they're looking around, it's like, man, everything around Phoenix is named Thunderbird something, so we don't want it to be too regional. Let's choose the Stardusters.
There you go. Okay.
And then
well,
is
that seems reasonable.
Well, I tell you, I have had the opportunity to sit in a meeting where a 3-star general made a, and I'm using my quotation fingers, a suggestion. In my world, when someone makes a suggestion, that's all it is. But when a 3-star makes it, it's a different story. Well, as the story goes, apparently the 3-star at training command saw Stardusters and didn't like it, went back to Thunderbirds. And so Stardusters were relegated to the dustbin of history.
I guess so.
But Thunderbirds since then. Now you said you started off the F-84 Thunderjet. You've flown different aircraft in accordance with technology and the needs of the team. What other aircraft have the Thunderbirds flown over their history?
We have. You know, we flew the F-84 for a little while, and then moved up to the F-100 Super Saber. We flew a couple different variants of that. Eventually got to the F-105. We flew that for a very short time. And then the F-4 Phantom, the T-38 Talon, which still flies today as a trainer aircraft. But we've been flying F-16 since 1982. So by far the longest run of any aircraft we've flown is the F-16, which is what we're flying today.
Now, are you all flying the most advanced version of the F-16?
We sure are.
Okay.
So back in 82, they started off with the baseline F-16 model is really the only one that was available. But throughout the years, the F-16 has evolved with better performance and engine technology, avionics, and as that has evolved, we have evolved with it. So the F-16s that we're flying today aren't anywhere close to what we were flying back in 1982. Much more powerful, much more maneuverable. They're really it's really an amazing aircraft. And a lot of fun to fly, too.
Now, the statement that you're the fastest flying aero demonstration team in the world, you've performed, or the Thunderbirds have performed, for hundreds of millions of people all around the globe. Does that statement refer to the fact that just when you're flying in formation or some of the maneuvers that you do, you guys are the top? I'll tell you, to me, you're the top demonstration team in the world. Don't tell my Navy friends I said that. but is that an accurate statement as far as you know?
No, that's absolutely accurate. We fly our formation, you know, when we're in the diamond formation, when the four jets are flying in close formation, or even when all six of us rejoin as the Delta formation, our airspeeds are much faster than any other demonstration team. And that's just due to the F-16 and the way that it flies and the way it maneuvers. It flies very comfortable at those airspeeds. So a fast air show, you know, quickly moving aircraft, that makes for an exciting air show. So that gives us a lot of maneuverability to, you know, do a lot of different maneuvers. Like one of the maneuvers I do, vertical rolls, I'll approach the line in the neighborhood of 600 to 650 miles an hour. I can go straight up and do aileron rolls for 3 miles straight up until I run out of airspace and I start to get in the way of the airliners. That's how I can go as far as I want almost.
Wow, that's amazing. I tell you, sir, I've had the opportunity. I got a chance to put on the flight suit and get seated in General Rand's F-16 up at Hill Air Force Base about a year ago. And I've had the opportunity to sit in the cockpits of different aircraft. But I tell you, the F-16, that was the only one where I sort of felt like I was strapping the plane on. I mean, it literally felt like I was becoming part of the plane sitting in that cockpit.
And that, you know, that's so true. And the fact that the cockpit sits around you so well, but also the F-16 is a fly-by-wire type of aircraft. So the control stick that you're holding on to, it doesn't really move so much as a normal stick in an aircraft would move, but it just flies. You control the aircraft through pressure on the stick. So I just put a little bit of pressure on that control stick, left, right, up, down, whatever it is, and the aircraft responds, and it responds immediately. So you almost just think about turning the aircraft or doing a loop or doing whatever maneuver. You just almost have to think about it, and the aircraft will do it because it's so responsive.
Now, Major Jones, we're about to take our second break. I tell you, time flies when we've got a great guest like you. But before we take the break, I think one thing folks maybe don't understand is you're a demonstration team, but if duty calls, your team is activated and you go to war, in effect.
You know, these aircraft, they came from combat units and they can go back to a combat unit very quickly. Within 72 hours, these aircraft can be ready to go.
Now, in the case of that happening, sir, do you travel with your plane or do you, they just send you off and you jump in the cockpit of another F-16?
Well, that's hard to say. You know, I don't know what the exact protocol would be, but that those planes can be ready to go, and wherever they need to go, we'll go with them. So, you bet.
Okay. Hey, folks, stick around. We're going to take a break here for a commercial. We're joined by Major Blaine Jones, Thunderbird 5 of the world-famous Thunderbird demonstration, aerial demonstration team. They'll be here in town next weekend. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior on 104.1 The Truth.
And we're back, folks. Welcome back to American Warrior. We're very, very honored and pleased to be joined by Major Blaine Jones. Major Jones is also referred to as Thunderbird 5. He's the lead solo pilot for the United States Air Force Thunderbirds. They'll be flying over our skies this weekend, April 12th and 13th, at the Davis-Monthan Thunder and Lightning over Arizona open house. Don't miss this, folks. I've had the opportunity to see the Thunderbirds fly a number of times, and it is literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, the gates open at 9 o'clock both days. Allow a little bit extra time when you go out there and visit. Make sure you have a hat, sunscreen, comfortable shoes. A lot of stuff to see and do out there, but it makes for kind of a long day, particularly for the kids if they're not used to it. So, Major Blaine, we're back. Thank you. I'm sorry, Major Jones. Blaine,
yeah.
Jones, Major Jones. Can I just call you Major?
Absolutely.
I told you it was just a conversation. So, welcome back. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we referenced the concept that this is one of the plum assignments, if you will, in the United States Air Force. So I guess it's not real easy to get. How does one go from being, well, we heard about how you went from being a baker to an F-6, a fighter pilot, but how does one go from being a fighter pilot to one of the members of the Thunderbirds team?
Well, it's a great honor to be able to do that, and a lot of incredible applicants apply every year. Every year we'll swap out half of the pilots, so the pilots are normally assigned a two-year assignment with the Thunderbirds. So that gives you a lot of time on the team to get proficient and instruct the new guys that come on. But every year, we'll swap out half of the demonstration pilots, so that's three pilots a year. And out of those three, you know, it depends year to year, but usually about 30 folks will apply to be a pilot. And to be able to apply, you have to reach a certain minimum standard of flight hours and experience. Generally, you're looking at about 10 years of time in a fighter aircraft, with about 1,000 hours worth of fighter time. Most everybody that applies to the team, has those credentials. So we've all been to combat and all are, come from different airframes. Like, I haven't flown the F-16 my entire career. I flew the F-15 and the F-22 and eventually, to the F-16 here in the Thunderbirds, but very extensive interview process. Thorough records review, and over about a six-month period of time, then we'll finally get hired to the team. So it's a long process, but well worth it because it's such an amazing opportunity and honor to be able to do this.
Now, let me depart there a little bit because I have also seen the F-22 fly out here at the Heritage Conference that they hold annually at Davis-Monthan. And the first time I saw that aircraft fly doing maneuvers up in the sky, I was looking for the wires.
Exactly.
I mean, it does things that planes are not supposed to be able to do in the air, and it's amazing to watch.
And it's amazing to fly. It is an absolutely unbelievable aircraft. There isn't any aircraft in the world that can even come close to the F-22. And as an Air Force, we are so fortunate to have that fighter on our side, because it's literally a game changer. And and I'm so happy that we have that technology, because it's an unbelievable aircraft.
Now, I don't know if you know this, General Walters, who's the 12th Air Force commander here at Davis-Monthan, and he's F-22 jock, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
You guys should catch up. I tell you this, somebody burst in my bubble, because I'm watching this plane fly and I'm thinking, wow, in a dogfight with those maneuvers, you could just, I mean, that's amazing. And this fellow said, you know, actually, with this plane, if it ever comes down to that, you've already lost. The whole point of that aircraft is shoot the bad guy down before they ever see you or you ever see them.
Absolutely. You know, it's almost unfair, because you can engage and shoot a target well far outside of any chance of him picking you up, either visually or through his radar or any of his sensors. So he won't even know that he's being targeted and you've already shot him. And for whatever reason, you haven't shot him. By the time you get into a visual dogfight type of environment, the F-22 is so unbelievably maneuverable that the other aircraft doesn't stand a chance. So it's, if he had ever gets to the point where you're in a dogfight, he still doesn't have a chance. So I said, it's almost unfair.
I think we agree that when it comes to war, I want to be as unfair as possible.
Absolutely.
But was there a challenge in you in transitioning from the F-22 to the F-16? Was that because of the special maneuverability of the F-22?
No, not a whole lot. You know, there, when you get down to it, they're still airplanes. They still take off and land about the same. They each have their, you know, little idiosyncrasies about them, but, over time you learn them, and, it's a pretty smooth transition, between about any of the fighter aircraft. They all fly very easily. I used to fly civilian, aircraft, you know, 152 or 172 Cessna. And you know what? Those are actually harder to take off and land than the fighters that we fly. So they're fairly easy to fly.
Now, very competitive to be a pilot. And there's how many on the team itself? There are six pilots, sir, or eight?
Well, we have six demonstration pilots. There's eight pilots on the team. The other two guys, there are advanced pilot and narrator. And also we have our director of operations is on the ground and acts as a safety observer and coordinates a lot of things for us. But eight of us are pilots, and we all eight fly. And the other two guys, they get to fly media personnel. They'll fly hometown heroes. We have a great program where you know, we'll come to Tucson and we'll have the opportunity to fly someone that the air show has chosen that is deserving for a flight. You know, not necessarily someone famous, but somebody that's done something great for the community. And, you know, it's our way to give back to, folks that.
I tell my producer's over here raising his hand. Me, I'm deserving.
Exactly.
And that person's already been selected, correct?
From what I understand, okay. I don't know who it is, okay. But, we do our best to, you know, we'll put the notice out there and let the base or wherever we're going, choose someone like that for us.
Yeah, I'm sure the wing had lots of worthy people that were nominated. So I mean, God bless you for giving someone that thrill. Now, in looking at this, sir, I don't think the team, as best I can tell, the team has never missed a performance because of a mechanical failure. Talk about there's the pilots, but you've also got 120 people or so supporting you. Tell us about them.
We do. We have personnel from almost every specialty making sure these jets get airborne. I mean, the pilots, we do the show, but holy smokes, we couldn't even taxi the aircraft if we didn't have everybody working out and working as a team. Everybody from crew chiefs that get the jets ready for us to engine specialists, electrical specialists, avionics guys, you name it, you know, fuel specialists. If it takes that person to get an airplane airborne, they're probably going to be on our team, because like you said, we've never canceled a show due to maintenance, and that is an incredible testament to the quality of people that we have on our team.
Well, and I've got to say that, I mean, let's not kid around. I mean, the Thunderbird pilots are some of the best of the pilots in the United States Air Force. I'm guessing that your support crews, everything from the wrench turners on up to the PA and communication folks, are also the top of their field in the Air Force.
Absolutely. You know, we get the great opportunity to be able to pick who gets to be a Thunderbird. So people apply for it. They want to be part of this great organization, and so we get the cream of the crop when it comes to those type of folks. So we're very fortunate. You know, the crew chiefs that I have are just the greatest in the world, and I, every maneuver that I do, you know, we practice it day in and day out, and it's almost second nature to us. But you know, that we have to make sure that everything's clicking the way it should be, and there cannot be any mistakes, and there can't be anything that's overlooked. And we count on these guys to do that, and they succeed every day.
Now, sir, that's brings up an interesting question in my mind. You know, you guys perform it, and you perform it flawlessly. But is there, maybe tough to calculate, but how, let's say for your show, your demonstration is probably, what, about 45 minutes to an hour, the actual performance?
Yeah, the flight time is about 45 minutes, you bet.
So of that, how many hours and hours and hours of practice does it take to translate into a one-hour show?
Well, let's see, if I did the math, you know, the only time I've flown an F-16 is with the Thunderbirds, so all of my F-16 hours are with the Thunderbirds, and I have a little bit more than 1,000 hours, and I would estimate that I've done about 70 shows, so more than 10 hours of practice per hour of show is about what it is.
That's probably a little more rehearsal than playing Jimmy Stewart in the high school play,
yes,
isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we'll do 4 demonstrations a week. That's what we're required to do to stay proficient. And because we repeat it day in and day out, and we make the same radio calls every day, and we fly the same maneuvers, it becomes a muscle memory type of action. So you don't necessarily even think about the maneuver. It's just you're in the situation, and that's, you know, that's how you maneuver the aircraft at that point in time. And it makes for a very smooth and very precise show. Due to all the practice that we do.
Hey, folks, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're joined by Major Blaine Jones, Thunderbird 5, the lead solar pilot for the United States Thunderbirds. You'll be seeing over the skies of Tucson. We'll be back with one more segment. Major Jones, I want to talk about what folks will be looking for coming up this weekend, so stick with us.
Those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. If you want to support them, start with WoundedWarriorProject.org. Now, back to the American Warrior on 104.1 The Truth.
We're back on American Warrior talking to one of the Thunderbird United States Air Force demonstration team pilots, Major Blaine Jones. He is Thunderbird 5, the lead solo pilot. Now, folks, when you go to the show, you're going to see two planes flying about as close as they can get. As if to make it a little more difficult, one's upside down, the other's right side up. Don't miss this show. April 12th, April 13th, Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, free of charge. Gates open at 9 o'clock on both days. Major Jones, coming back, I tell you, one of my favorite maneuvers of your show, and I've seen you guys perform, you or your predecessors perform probably about a dozen times. One of my favorite maneuvers is one that I don't want to share, because it involves surprise, and I think you probably know the one I'm talking about. But what other kinds of things? What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite maneuver that you perform either as a solo or with the team?
Well, you know, that my favorite maneuver kind of changes week in and week out, but I talked about vertical rolls earlier where I'll approach show center about 650 miles an hour, pull the nose straight up, and then as I'm going straight uphill, I'll just start rolling the aircraft. And do that for about 3 miles straight up. That's called vertical rolls. I really enjoy that. I like the max turn half Cuban. That demonstrates the amazing power out of the F-16, where I'll do 360 degrees of turn, full afterburner, at about 8 to 9 G's, and then roll out of that and do a half Cuban 8. So it's a lot of G's on the aircraft. It makes for a lot of noise and a lot of fun. There's one other maneuver that showcases how well the jet handles at slow speed, and that's called the high alpha. I slow slow down to about 110, 115 miles an hour, and the jet almost looks like it's hovering as it flies past. That's a lot of fun, too.
You know you're in a different line of work when slowing down is only 110 miles an hour.
Yeah, well,
that's almost freeway speeds in Montana, maybe.
Exactly.
Now, so you're doing a lot of maneuver. I mean, the G's, nine G's, you're pulling. That's quite a bit. Is there of the pilots? Is there anything then that you have to be more special at, if I can use that phrase, to be the lead solo, or do you sort of evolve and get promoted into that slot?
Well, you're chosen for your position. So the only position that changes is between 6 and 5. So I was hired as Thunderbird 6, and you fly as Thunderbird 6 for 1 year and as the opposing solo, and then after 1 year you become the lead solo for your second year. So I went from 6 to 5 this year, and there's just a couple of changes that you have to make in that transition. Other than that, everyone learns their position as the right wing or left wing or slot or the leader, and that's the only position you fly. So for 2 years, you focus on those maneuvers, and there isn't anyone else that could do my maneuvers, and I certainly couldn't do the right wing maneuver or the slots maneuver, because that's all that they focus on.
And what other sorts of things, you described some of the maneuvers, what other sorts of things should folks be looking for this weekend over the skies of Tucson?
Well, besides the Thunderbirds, there's going to be a lot of great, great acts out there, as well. It's an entire day full of aviation. So if you're like me and you can't get enough of airplanes, it's the perfect place to be, from folks jumping out of airplanes, which I still don't understand, to some other folks flying small airplanes and big airplanes, and it's just a lot of fun.
Now, y'all are basically the Air Force equivalent of rock stars. You're constantly touring. I would guess that you come in, you practice, you familiarize yourself with the base and the airspace, you do the show, and you're gone. Do you ever get an opportunity to go out and enjoy the communities where you're performing?
You bet. You know, we'll usually arrive on a Thursday. We'll do a practice on Friday, and then the show's on Saturday and Sunday, and between that time, you know, when our days off, or not our days off, but our time off between flying, you bet we go out and take in the sights. So I'm very excited to see Tucson again, and I know everyone else is on the team. We love to come down there. It's fairly close to home. We're all from Las Vegas is where we're based, so expect that a lot of our families will come down there, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, sir, no matter what Jake tells you, two words, Trident Grill. Best clam chowder in town, most military friendly, and they're an advertiser. Okay, I'll admit it, they're an advertiser. Trident Grill, best person. What? Following that theme, though, you are on. You have a family. You said you have two twin daughters. What is the being in the military is challenging enough on families, but I would think even more so with your schedule. How do you handle the challenges of being on the road constantly? Is there anything in particular your family does to accommodate that schedule?
Well, it is a challenge. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that my mother actually moved in with us to help my wife and I take care of our girls. My wife is in the military as well, so we're both gone a fair amount. But it's like anything, you know, you have to have an amazing support structure of friends and family, because no one can do it by yourself or do it yourself. So, you know, you make the best with what you've got, and whether I was on the Thunderbirds or I was, you know, in a combat unit deployed somewhere, there's always those times when you're gone, but that's why we serve, is to ensure that we can ensure that this place is good for my daughters when they grow up. So, you know, that's a small price to pay.
Well, that's a wonderful answer, and something I would expect. One thing I've been impressed with, sir, in the time I've been doing this radio show, is just the overall sense of duty and service and frankly, humility. And I got to say, I didn't expect that out of a Thunderbird pilot, but I'm very impressed at your answer.
Well, I appreciate that.
What anything else that you want to share with the listeners here in a week in advance of your appearance here in Tucson, other than they should go out there and they should be cheering exclusively for Thunderbird 5?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Come see us and come say hi. We're going to sign autographs at the end of the show, so I'd love to talk to you. And we're so excited to go to Tucson, see some sunshine. And we're in Mississippi right now, and it's raining on us, so hopefully we get some sunshine in Arizona, And come on out and see us. It's going to be a great show.
Well, now, I will tell you, it was awfully, awfully chilly this week. I think it got down to about 70 degrees today, or we're looking at 70 degrees. So, you know, bring your jammies with you, sir. And thank you. Major Jones, thank you so much for your service. We're very excited about seeing you here in Tucson and over the skies of Tucson. Folks, if you get a chance, well, no, forget it. Don't make a chance. Go out and attend the Thunder and Lightning over Arizona Air Show. Go out and say hello to Major Jones. Welcome him to Tucson. And, sir, thank you so much for your service. Really, really look forward to seeing you perform here in Tucson.
Hey, thanks for talking to me. I really enjoyed it, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was Major Blaine Jones, Thunderbird 5, the lead solo pilot for the United States Air Force Thunderbirds. Listen, again, I want to emphasize, I've had a chance to see these folks perform and lots of other great shows out there at the open house. Take the moment this Saturday and Sunday, April 12th and April 13th, Thunder and Lightning over Arizona. The whole show is free of charge. The gates open at 9 o'clock on both days. The flying demonstrations, as Major Jones mentioned, there will be other flying teams, demonstration teams flying that day. Lots of stuff to see in the sky, lots of stuff to see on the ground. The Thunderbirds go off at about 2 o'clock, so you want to be in place to see that. There's other aircraft on static displays. One of my favorite, if you really want to see an impressive aircraft, the AC-130 gunship. That is the airborne gunship that you've seen so much footage of over in the Middle East. They're going to have a Predator, unarmed aerial vehicle out there. About 45 aircraft on display. A couple of things, folks, just remember. Bring a water bottle. There'll be free refill stations available, but you can't bring your own coolers. Don't bring a Camelback. Please don't bring a big backpack or a duffel bag. It is an Air Force base, after all. They're very concerned about security. Pretty much anything you want, you can get there at the base. They'll have food and drinks and ATM machines available. Now, I tell you, I love to go out there. I kind of starve myself the day before. I like to go out there and buy lots of food because very often the food booths and the drink booths, those are fundraisers for some of the various charities on the base or the various organizations on the base. So you might want to save up your money and you know, buy a hot dog, buy something out there at the base. Again, I want to remind you there's no public transportation. The Swan and the Craycraft gates will both be open, but plan a little bit extra time to get on the base. I'm sure the lines will be long, well worth your time. Something else. Listen, you can visit the website, www.dmforcessupport.com, forcessupport.com. /airshow. All the information you need, you can find that on the web. They do have some special opportunities. There's some box seats you can buy, some reserved box seats right on the flight line. They're going to have a beer garden out there, so it should be a good time. I encourage you to attend the event. Thank the men and women of our Air Force and their support, and make sure you give a shout out to Major Blaine Jones, Thunderbird 5, if you get a chance.